Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Another tough week on Wall Street. We had the Dow off 1.7%. It's only up 1.8% for the year. S&P off 1.4%. NASDAQ off 1.4%. The EAFE index, which has been on a tear lately, is off 2% this week. And oil down 3.7%, closed at $69.26 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury relatively flat at 3.74%. And bonds just about even for the year to date, up 2.3%. Now, I got the question about inflation. Is it under control? And I don't think so, because this past week we had several large central banks around the world echoing what Jay Powell's been talking about. And what is that? Why do I think rates are going to continue to go up? Because inflation's sticking around. Well, first of all the central banks that have reported these past couple weeks have kept talking about the fact that the interest rates are not bringing down inflation the way they want it, and inflation is their top priority. Second, all these central banks that have been reporting have been saying that inflation remains too high. And third, all three central banks this past week said that more rate hikes in the months ahead are a distinct possibility. So the takeaway from all the June central bank decisions that we've seen this past month and the associated commentary from Mr. Powell is that in the eyes of these central bankers who control the interest rates, inflation is still too high relative to the level they want to see it. And it's not fast. It's not falling fast enough to make them happy in our economy, particularly in the service sector. So as a result, these banks around the world are saying, and they're probably going to do it, going to keep raising interest rates. So the problem with the consensus view is that the effect of all the rate hikes that they've been doing have not really been felt yet in the economy. It takes time. And we're starting to see signs of the capitulation in the global fixed income markets this past week. We saw a sharp, what I call a bear flattening, that sent the U.S. 10-year treasuries compared to the 2-year spread below 100 basis points. That means the difference between the 2 and the 10 is over 100 basis points, with the front end of the curve being higher yielding. Now, in Europe, the German Bund, same thing, 10-2 spread. This fell to the lowest level I've seen since 1990. And in the UK, first time ever, the 10-2 literally collapsed to get to down 72 basis points. So the primary concern for markets right now is growth and recession, as it looks like this idea of higher rates for longer is going to be around. So that brings the next question. Are we going to have a soft landing or a hard landing? And so, as you know, that is an important question for the markets, because over the medium and longer term, if there's a soft landing, stocks are cheap, and 10% more up from here is not out of the question. But if there's a hard landing, then it doesn't matter what the Fed does, because rate cuts will be too late, and you're looking at possibly a 20% decline on the S&P 500. So these are pretty high stakes, and so I use what I call the hard landing versus soft landing scoreboard. You know, we've been talking about this about once a month, so I thought I'd update you this month about where we are. And the point is to help recognize as early as possible which outcome is more likely, and then position your portfolio accordingly to hopefully protect some of that downside. So the things that we look at are the job ads, the ISM manufacturing index, service index, along with consumer spending, and business spending. And as you know, each week we look at the unemployment number. So to help determine if the scoreboard is pointing more towards a hard or a soft landing, I wanted to compare the most recent data to the readings a month ago, 3 months ago. And the reason for that is simple. Hard landings don't happen gradually. They happen suddenly. Soft landings happen gradually. So comparing activity to a year ago isn't helpful in determining if we're getting a hard landing. Activity can be down over a year ago, but those declines don't automatically mean there's a hard landing coming. On the other hand, if activity is off sharply from 3 months ago, that does say something has changed and the economy is losing momentum. In other words, we're probably looking at a hard landing. So considering the data, the conclusion of the scoreboard hasn't changed. So let's look at it. The ISM manufacturing showing a hard landing. Why? It's under 50. The service index still over 50. So soft landing. Jobs adds still around 248,000, soft landing. Retail sales still pretty strong, currently $598 billion. Compared to 3 months ago, it's $600 billion, so soft landing. The business spending, $73.6 billion, slowed down a little bit from 3 months ago, still soft landing. And jobless claims creeping up, I'll talk about that in a minute, but still showing a soft landing. So over all of those indexes, only one right now is showing a hard landing is coming. And so that doesn't necessarily mean there's a broad slowdown coming or it's imminent because manufacturing is such a small part of the economy. So what signals a hard landing going forward? Well, if manufacturing decline more, if the service index drops below 50, if the job number starts to drop below 150,000. So I'm not saying that a hard landing won't happen, but so far it isn't happening yet. And this economy is clearly slowing down. But for now, growth is moderating. And so we're seeing a soft landing start to develop, which is great. And that's what the Fed's looking at. And that's why they keep talking about, well, we'll raise rates. Not going to really be a big deal. But the problem is it might be too late. So let's look at jobless claims this past week because something's emerging there. So on Thursday, we had the jobless claims come out. It was 264,000 and the estimate was 261. But the four-week average, and this is what's starting to build up that I'm seeing here. It's like looking out in the ocean, looking for that wave, that big wave coming. You're going to jump and surf it. Here it comes. Let's look at it. The four-week moving average rose to 255.75 thousand. Now, what is that? Well, that's an uptrend in initial jobless claims. It's starting to happen, starting to move higher. And this is what's interesting. Historically, we have looked for a rise above 300,000 to indicate that there's weakness in the labor market. But every cycle is different. And this four-week moving average that we just mentioned is currently up, get this, 34% from 52 weeks ago. So to put this into context, the four-week average of initial claims had risen 19% from early 2006 to the Great Recession in 2008. At the same time, we looked at 2000, and that figure was up 40% from the lows before that recession hit in after the dot-com bubble bust. So bottom line right now is claims rate remain low historically, but when you look at it in terms of a context over 4 weeks, it's a pretty big number at 34%. And this shows that we could right be in the recession territory, if you will. So just be careful, because as you know, Warren Buffett says, when the ocean goes out, who's wearing the shorts, right? And that's what's going on here. Now, I'll just say this right now. In bonds right now, I'm seeing a pretty compelling opportunity. And this is starting to form to complement positioning in bonds. If you've done well in some of your tech stocks, if you have some appreciation in some of the indexes we talked about, like the S&P 500, maybe the NASDAQ, there's some pretty healthy returns there. This might be a good time for you to consider taking some profits off the table and starting to reposition in the fixed income world, because you're getting very strong rates, well over 5%, in some very compelling instruments. And as rates eventually will come down, you should get some appreciation in that. So keep this in mind right now, that the peak in treasury yields typically occur 1 to 2 months before the Fed peaks in interest rates. And I don't know exactly when that's going to happen. Nobody really does. But this could imply that peak yields are likely in the weeks ahead, if not right now. So I think this presents an opportunity for longer duration assets that you want to hold for a while, and you might want to look a little further out on the curve to capture those better yields and to get out of the risk that you may be in right now. Because when that Fed does pause and ultimately pivot, that will be a good opportunity for equities, and you don't want to miss that.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.